Welcome to Criminal Thinking Deterred with your host, Tony Moore. Here we talk about how to take responsibility for your decisions, stop hurting people, become a positive force in your community, and end the criminal thinking that deters everyone.
Welcome back to Criminal Thinking Deterred. It's been a long month, ending the year, and we're starting the new year off. And we're glad to be back. And there's so many good things that happened in our last year as we open up the new year. And we're wanting to get to the good parts of things and talk about what we see as some of the issues coming out of last year and doing some things to try to correct those issues moving forward from a criminal thinking standpoint and from a thinking standpoint. And as we move forward, we want to deal with the necessities of what will it take to be the best version of ourselves by addressing the issues that causes the problems and enhancing the issues that make us who we are and good habits and the discipline that it takes to become the person that you want. And as we look back over our successes and failures of last year, we're not going to be so pressed to say all our successes is what we need to learn from, because you learn a lot from your lessons of life, the things that you may have failed at and the things that you have to make adjustments to and to deal with in life. We have a beautiful situation for me being a winning basketball coach. I'm coaching high school basketball right now, and this is my third year in, and we're trying to create a culture and a program that embraces the student athlete. We're focusing on how do we get the student athlete to be a better ball player off the court and be a better person off the court and a better person on the court with for his athletics. And you have to address each issue independent of itself to holistically bring it all together collectively. So as you deal with a culture that has been, for whatever reason, lost its way or have a losing season or a losing environment, you have to start with, in a school, you have to start with taking the teachers and having the teachers to buy in, and then you have to have the student body to buy in, and then maybe even the district to have buy-in for the student athlete to become who we need to be. Not all ball players will go on to be professional basketball players, but all ball players will become men who's going to probably be in charge of life for other people or be the man of a family. So you still want him to be able to win off the court as well as on the court. So when you're talking about the surrendering and sacrifices that it take to realize what habits, what issues need to be addressed. For myself, being an author and looking at some of the things that I have done as an added component with other good coaches and assistant coaches, we all take a part of it. I'm more on the mental health, emotional side of the student body and talking to the students about overcoming what appears to be adversity and losing could actually be a winning formula of being able to address how come you're losing. What do you lack? What are you lacking? And not to buy so much into the hurt and pain of losing, but in the strength and awareness of what it takes to win. So getting kids to think like that on the basketball court and in the classroom, we're right now graduating over 80% of our seniors, and we have like 10%, we have 10 seniors right now on our varsity. So I was telling our head coach, if we're gonna be a program that addresses the student athlete, you already won then. Because the student is the most important thing than the athlete. The athlete comes second. So if you're getting most of your senior class that's on your basketball team to graduate, you've done a heck of a job in reinforcing to them how important education is. And we're doing that, and it's a joy to watch as the kids develop IQ because of their student's ability to learn and educate in the classroom. It now comes to the IQ comes to the basketball floor. They start playing chess and start understanding how to play basketball within the confines of their talent and their skill. Not all of them are athletic, so they have to play on talent, and that talent is what you learn. So it's been a joy in watching some of the sacrifices me as a professional basketball coach who get the ready-made product of a man who's been through many other coaches and many other programs. I usually get players who all I got to do is instruct, not develop. They're already developed, and I can take their talents and mesh it and put the right kind of people together. It's like putting, you know, two guards that are slashers, a shooter, or a rebounder. I can do that. But in high school, you can't do that because you got to go with what you get from students. So it's been a wonderful challenge for me to be able to understand and allow people to be who they are and where they are, and let's address the issue of success from that standpoint. And with some of the things that I have learned over the course of 30 years as a teacher and as an educator, understanding how to deal with what's in the storm. How do you prepare to deal with what storms in your life will come, and what sacrifices are you willing to make sure that you weather the storm? Even though the storm is going to be there, you're going to get a lesson from the storm. You don't know whether it's going to be hard rain, soft rain that lasts for 2 or 3 days, or is it going to be rain or weather that rip off the roof? So your preparation has to become from a place of intellect that rain does come in one's life. And then your emotional understanding has to become something that I can be passionate enough to put the roof back on my house, maybe even while it's raining. The human mind and the mind of men is a beautiful tool once it gets used properly and for the right things. So as you develop yourself to see what your garden of life has offered you, you look in the garden of life and the things that you've been blessed with from family, children, jobs, and all the things that may have been given to your life. How much do you appreciate those things? Do you have the ability to evolve above those things? Can you get in an entrepreneur and says, can you buy 3 houses? Can you have 3 cars? Can you go with 1 car? Can you have a 1-bedroom and still be happy? And most people can. You don't need money. And some of the richest people I know are people who don't have a whole lot of money. They just enjoy life for the benefits of life. And then there's some people who have millions of dollars that I know too, that are just completely miserable with the task of keeping money so that they can continue the lifestyle that they created for themselves. So the weather to weather your storm. And I wrote the book. I wrote a book, a devotional book, Freedom, Finding Peace While in the Midst of the Storm. And I wrote that while I was learning from my incarceration, my very first one. I've been in prison 5 times. And I've done those 5 times, over 18 years worth of incarceration. So I got a chance to learn from being an introvert. Prison wasn't hard in being separated from people, but being an introvert could cause me not to be able to network and not be able to get the knowledge that I needed from people too. So I had to learn how to come out of my natural personality of being an introvert and being to myself so that I could be able to be the best version of myself. So when you start thinking about freedom, what does that mean to you? How do you evolve as a free person to be the best version of yourself and address your internal issues to go forward with your external dreams and desires of what life should be like and how you want to deal with life on life terms so you can be the best version again of yourself? And as I did that in those incarcerations, had the mindset to be a student, even though it took me five times, each time gave me a lesson that I learned a little bit more about. So by the fifth time, and facing 40 years, not knowing what's going to happen, knowing that I could get all of it because of my record and my past, I just made a decision to sacrifice it all and say, you know what? I surrender to the fact that if I don't change, everything that I once knew and processed as a man and look at it and evaluate it, that I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison, taking myself from the charge of life of raising a daughter, being a man to a family, being a brother and to my sisters and brothers, and being the man that God had called me to be. So I made that decision in 1996 to change my life and walk that forward so that I could be redeemed. I had to find a way to surrender enough to allow myself to be redeemed back to what I once knew as my possibilities of being the best version of myself or the greatness of myself that my family always told me. You have an excellent chance. You're a smart young man. All those good things mom and dad tried to put in me coming out of the South to be the best version of myself. So I had to redeem that. And I didn't know any way to redeem it, but to go back first to my knees and surrender myself prostrate before what I believe a heavenly God to give me the understanding and strength to buy into the fact that there was a power greater than myself that could restore me to some sanity, that could give me a sense of purpose. And as I found that purpose, I understood that I was running. I was running a lot. I had been called by a special purpose, but I just ran from it because the responsibilities of being the man that I wanted to be meant sacrifice. It meant I needed to change some things and surrender some things to be what God had called me internally to be. And this is still a quiet voice. Not everybody hears it or everybody does it with drugs, alcohol, all of those things. I deadened minds with the street and with the lure of the streets and vice and drugs and alcohol, because I wanted to fit into a place that I couldn't really fit in because I was an introvert. So I had to get high in order to partnership with the companions of my life, the dudes in my life, the people in my life in the streets. Getting high made it easier to associate, to kick it, to have fun, to stiff arm the calling that was on my life. And I was a good stiff arm. I could stiff arm. I was a football player. So if any of you guys know what stiff arming is, you're keeping it up off you while you're still getting yardage. And I was getting yardage doing what I needed to do, but I was digging a hole for myself because, again, as I say, my last incarceration, I'm facing 40 years. And I got a little daughter at this time that I was blessed enough to have a daughter with all I was going through. And she happened to help me get redeemed because she reminded me of an old cliche. How can a tree teach a branch how to be a branch if the tree is rotten itself? So she reminded me of that and came and seen me and visited me in a jail cell and exposed me to that truth that I couldn't let go of. It opened up the door so that I could see myself for who I was. And I knew I was a good tree, but I was rotten at my core. And if I changed the core, I could also change the purpose of the tree. So I started working on that. And most people say, well, what did you do for your daughter? I did not one thing for my daughter. I did everything I needed to do for myself, which in turn made me a better father, better brother, friend to my daughter. It started with me to end up with my daughter getting the results. I watch a lot of men in prison. They say, I'm finna go do whatever I can do for my son, my mother, my daughter, my friend. Well, brother, if you don't do it for you first, it ain't even gonna matter that you did it for them, because you ain't gonna have enough to hold you intact when you're in trouble and going through, again, the storms of change. Once you change, now the internal stuff to keep changing is gonna exasperate itself to make you have these anxieties of, why can't people respect me? Well, you're not the same person. In the attacks of life, you're just gonna have to deal with it. You got bills now, you're paying bills. So you got a different environment. You're paying bills, you're doing responsible things. You're watching your drug intake, alcohol intake, who you around, all of the things cause anxiety. People telling you that you're less than what you are because now you change because of white people or prison or peer pressure that made you or brainwashed your mind. Now you don't have the understanding of what you need to do or why people don't appreciate me for my change. So I might go back to what I used to do. And you got to fight all of that internal and external stuff as you change. So as the core of the tree begins to develop all the rings of life, and you start looking at yourself, well, those are all spaces that you need to grow and be a healthy tree. You have to face some storms as a tree, and many years of storms, and weather them as you grow and grow and grow. If you ever watch a tree, you say to yourself, why did that tree survive all of those storms? Many trees go through 50, 60 years of storms and don't break, don't fall apart, don't get hit by lightning and so forth and so on, but they keep growing. They keep growing through the worst of winters, worst of summers, drought, you name it. Trees continue to grow. So you have to be able to endure just as well as any tree. As you get redeemed and you call yourself back to the greatness of who you were at birth, the opportunities and potentials you had at birth starts to grow, and you start embracing it. You start embracing it, and you move forward with that redeeming qualities of, I enjoy what life has given me. So now, as you grow, and you embrace the core of yourself continuously changing, and the people around you, the branches of life, your children, your loved ones and your family, the example that you give as a strong tree begins to have them to produce leaves and fruit so that they can become an example because of the DNA of the tree they now have in them, because that's all they know is success or weathering the storm, and that is possible. You give them the hope as your core in your tree change as a father, as a man, as a woman. You start saying to yourself, can I live in the promises? Can I live in the promises of what God has created for me? And there are hundreds and hundreds of promises that God has given us in scripture. What life has offered you innately in the natural of a person that lives in a surrendering and sacrifice, embracing life of wholeness, there's the promises of success and non-judgmental ways that I found for me, that if I start remembering the promises that I had dominion, what did I lose it? Why can't I control what I know? One of the promises that came to me recently at the end of last year, and I'm a avid user of YouTube and other motivational speakers from Eric Thomas, Tony Robbins, you name them. I love them all. Les Brown, all of them. They give some valid information. And one of the key things that most of them say is get in beast mode. And everybody understands what beast mode is about your life. That means get in savage position to take charge. Well, I was praying, and I'm a really spiritual individual as I move forward, understanding my spiritual place. The voice of God told me, I never want to hear you call yourself a beast again. And I'm saying, what? A beast is lower than a man. A man can capture a beast and put it in a zoo. A beast can't never put a man in a zoo. So why are you calling yourself a beast or want to get in beast mode? Why don't you want to be in man's mode and be able to subdue everything that comes at you? So it gave me a whole different revelation of who I am as a man and understanding that the real mode is get in your domineering man self that God created us in his image, and you can overcome even the beast. So for me, that was a wake-up call on where I'm at in these 30-year journey of what's next for me. Now that I know man should have dominion, I can live in the promises of the fruit that God, the gardening God put me in. I can take advantage of naming the animals and enjoying the fruit, the vegetables, and all the things, the bridges, the water, the waterfalls, everything that God has created that man can enjoy. It was designed for me to have dominion over it, to use it to fulfill what was in me, the beauty of what's in God. A waterfall is the beauty of God. A butterfly is the beauty of God. The sky itself is the beauty of God out of his creation. The stars, the moon, sun, you name it. Even the dirt from which we come is the beauty of God. And when we start realizing that all of that was designed for me to live in the promises of myself and be fulfilled within the dreams that lie ahead of me, so that generationally I can start putting together a legacy that allow my kids to live in the promises of Abraham and the promises of Joseph and the promises of Nehemiah and the promises of Solomon and David and all of those great writers and people of scriptural or biblical background. I could start living in the faith of that and start saying to myself, everything that I go through, everything I have gone through in life was because God allowed me to be able to have the story to talk right now. And it was designed for me to be the best version of myself, that I was built for this moment, because everything works to the good of those who believe. And I believe God has a hand on my life. So as I move forward with faith and I continue to evolve and look, understand all of the promises that's given to man himself, then I can begin to say, you know what? There is not one thing that is not possible under the faith of Christ. Everything's possible. Everything. So as you move forward, and you start saying to yourself, can I live in my design purpose? Can I live in the purpose that God gave me? And that's part of my fourth book, My Design Purpose, The Success of the Four P's. And as I take excerpts from each of my books and I go through my life with it, you know, from Freedom, Finding Peace While in the Midst of the Storm, Redeemed, Living in the Knowledge of a Second Chance, and The Promises, the third book, Living in the Promises of a Changed Life. Now I get to living out, and I told you that I knew I was running for my calling. Well, my calling was my design purpose, the success of my four P's, which is my last book that I just wrote. And you can go on Amazon and get these books. And they got workbooks that go with them that takes you through 365 days. And they help you to continue to sacrifice and surrender to the fact that there is a better way to live for ex-offenders, drug addicts, people who are making changes in their life and doing the things that they need to do. So as you begin to look at my design purpose, the success of the four P's, and the four P's in this sense are prayer, planning, performance, and patience. And in the book, I break down why prayer is the necessary of the first one. Prayer, it gives you a sense of where you're trying to go, what is the will of God in your experience and your lessons. And the plan is the blueprint. The plan is what is laid out for you with your talents, your gifts, and the what you feel and what you have experienced through your whole entire life. And sometimes you may have to go into Potiphar's house. You may have to go into the king's palace. You may have to do things in the third P, which is performance. You may have to go back to school at 45 and learn IT. You may have to learn human service. You may have to go back to school and get the degree so that you have a greater voice and get a chance to live within the knowledge of your understanding on the backside of the mountain, where you got to focus and discipline and be consistent about the education to get the degree and the schooling done. And then as you get your performance together to be able to perform the calling on your life and get more knowledge and do more, whatever it takes to be the person that the calling requires, you have to be patient with yourself and allow it to work in God's speed, not yours. Don't get discouraged because it's not happening overnight, because if God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. And that's going to be any and every issue of life. There's a lot more to my own story that a lot of people say is unbelievable. But having understanding my freedom and finding peace while in the midst of the storm and being redeemed and knowing how God has touched my life to be a voice for those who have suffered or those who have lost hope, I understood that I needed to redeem myself so that I could give the promises that God is who he say he is, that life in a changed environment of mental understanding of changing, the battleground is always going to be your mind. That's where the internal stuff fights you at, where you have to learn to be a better fighter. Even if it says, go eat the donut, guess what? Because of where I'm trying to go, I'm not eating the donut. Just because my mind said eat the donut, I'm not eating it. And my mouth might be watering, but I got to be able to have dominion over my emotional self so that my intelligent self gives me the rewards that I seek in trying to be patient enough to be the best version of myself. So it's a wonderful journey, especially with the books that I wrote that gives you a direction and a guide you on some of the things that you need to surrender and sacrifice. And I'm always available on Facebook. I'm always available on Criminal Thinking Deterred with my good friend, Brian Lobig at Lobig Inc. He has the website for the Criminal Thinking website. And we talk a lot of open stuff. We take questions. We do classes. You know, we send books. If you want to purchase the books or you want to hear me speak, you can get in touch with me or my producer, Phil Day. And we'll try to find a way to get there. There's some cost to it, but it's minimum cost for what you're going to get to service your people or service your staff. We're like, as again, we've been connected with the criminal thinking process for over 30 years. Double master's degree in education and management and leadership. I'm an actual survivor of coming from the streets, facing 40 some years, been shot 9 times and been on the drug addiction for, I experienced drug addiction up until the day I changed my life at 35. And now yesterday was my birthday, I'm 65, clean and sober. All those years being able to run clinics. I got two clinics, a group home and an outpatient clinic. Right now, I have been up to running 25 staff on addressing these issues with criminal thinking, AODA, alcohol and drug addiction, behavioral issues. And we just want to be able to give back moving forward this year. And hopefully we'll be able to touch some more lives and open up some more doors so other people can have this message of hope and give it to other people and become a great tree themselves to produce great branches where we produce the fruit that we need as a community and as a society to at least give people hope going in jail and coming out of jail, that it's possible to change your life if you work on your thinking and errors in thinking. God bless you.
You've been listening to Criminal Thinking Deterred with Tony Moore. Visit our website, www.criminalthinking.net. Follow Criminal Thinking on Facebook and Instagram. Also, listen, follow, and download Criminal Thinking Deterred on the major podcast channels. Thank you and have a productive day.